Hi, I'm Eric Cottrell of Lynn, Massachusetts. I get my weekly radio news on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in beautiful Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, September the 5th, 2021. My name is Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and it is our weekly half hour of news and information from the world of radio here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We are live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We welcome one new member this week, Deanna. Thank you for joining up with us. And our YouTube channel, if you'd like to go back and check the show again or listen to some of our previous programs, we are on YouTube at youtube.com/International Radio Report, and we invite you to subscribe to the channel. We have a lot of information for you this week. We'll try to get through as much of it as we can, and we thank everybody that's been sending along information for us as well. We're going to start the show off with an update to a story we had a couple months back. This will be for our local listeners in the Montreal area. Shomes DJ, morning DJ Terry DeMonte, left the station a few months back, and we have some update on him from Jillian Page of the Montreal Gazette. The headline is Terry DeMonte joining other beloved Montreal broadcasters in podcast land. And she starts the article with, he's back. You had to know longtime show morning DJ Terry DeMonte couldn't stay away from a microphone for long after he retired from the station last spring. After all, when you've got a great set of pipes, as he likes to call them, you want to keep using them. DeMonte is joining some other Montreal broadcasters with great pipes who've ended their gigs on commercial radio stations and have forged new beginnings of sorts in podcast land. Among them, former CJD program host John Pohl and Dr. Lori Batito. DeMonte is teaming up with his former Shome radio host, Ted Bird, who's now a morning show host on CHSV Light 106.7. That's in the Hudson-Saint-Lazare area of Quebec, for the Terry and Ted podcasts. And that podcast will be making its debut on September the 8th. So he had mentioned when he was leaving that he was going to disappear. We wouldn't hear anything from him for maybe 3 months or so. And he's kept his promise and has returned, not on the radio, but with a new podcast. So we'll probably hear more about this. It'll be debuting this week on September the 8th.
Yep, you can see the passion. He can't stay away from a microphone. We have news from Hurricane Ida that toppled New Orleans Tower, but Cumulus says that its four FM stations are back via Inside Radio. Small areas of New Orleans had a return of electricity on Wednesday, but the challenge for the city and broadcasters seemed to be mostly tied to the lost power. Cumulus Media says after Hurricane Ida-related outages impacted all of its stations in the market, all but one is back on the air. Modern Rock Alternative 92.3, WZRH, is the exception after the Category 4 storm decapitated the nearly 2,000-foot tower used by the station and iHeartMedia Classic Hits 104.1, The Spot KVDU. Conrad Trotman, Senior Vice President, Technology and Operations for Cumulus, said, thankfully, nobody was injured, and we continue to assess the full extent of the damage. Our backup facility for the station remains without power, so we are working for another solution to get that station back on the air as soon as possible. The FCC has given iHeart permission to broadcast KVDU from an emergency tower on the adult RNB WYLD FM 98.5 antenna using 850 watts. That site has a generator. KVDU does have a licensed backup tower site in downtown New Orleans, but iHeart told the FCC in a filing that there is no power at the building or any of downtown at the time. It expects to be at the WYLD site for at least a month. Three other FMs in the market owned by Cumulus, including adult R&B K KMEZ-FM 102.9, Country WRKN-FM 106.1, and OTT-AC 106.7, The Crew KKND-FM are also all back up and running. It is likely more radio stations are out of service in the wake of Hurricane Ida than what the official count suggests. But as of Wednesday, the FCC said it knew of 13 radio stations that were dark. But its tally is a snapshot in time. It does not reflect the return of the Cumulus FMs, for example, and the number only reflects the stations that filed reports Wednesday with the FCC's Disaster Information Reporting System. But with power and telephone service in southern Louisiana still offline in many areas, other stations either were unable to report or simply had their hands full with the voluntary check-in. Some of the stations reported silent by FCC may now be back on the air. Also dark, per FCC, are iHeartMedia's classic hits 104.1, The Spot, KVDU New Orleans, and Lee Airwaves Talk, WJDR 98.3, and Classic Country The Legend, WSSM-FM 104.9, in Prentice, Mississippi. The FCC also said one FM translator, W208FC, is off the air. There are four AMs silent, including Lee Airwaves Classic Hits The Pearl, WCJU, Columbia, Mississippi, 1450, and Classic Country The Legend, WHSY, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 950, Shadowlands Communications Religious Sunshine, 800, WSHO, New Orleans, and iHeartMedia Gospel, Amen 940, WYLD in New Orleans. So a lot of damages, of course, because of the very high winds and also all the rain, and which is actually continuing in the Northeast, where it's raining crazy from Pennsylvania to Massachusetts to New York and all the East Coast. It's a pretty tough storm, pretty much.
Yeah, the there were some problems with WWL, the Clear Channel in New Orleans as well, not caused by the storm, but caused by Cuban jamming.
Oh, yeah.
There was a report of something they were calling the Whooper, and I was listening to it, and I heard this noise in the background, didn't know what it was. I thought it was some kind of interference or whatever. Almost sounded like a siren of some sort. Anyways, it's been on the frequency, and apparently they say it's coming from Cuba. When one of the WWL did go off the air for a brief period, and the sound was still there, so they realized it wasn't coming from WWL. Kind of interesting. Next, we move to a bit of a controversial story. This comes from Yahoo News by Andy Ortiz. Mark Bernier, anti-vax Florida radio host, dies at 65 years old from COVID-19. Mark Bernier, a prominent conservative radio host from Daytona Beach, Florida, who was an outspoken opponent of COVID vaccine and mask mandates, died Saturday after a nearly month-long battle with COVID. He was 65 years old. It is with great sadness that WNDB and Southern Stone Communications announced the passing of Mark Bernier, who informed and entertained listeners on WNDB for over 30 years. Bernier, a native of Rhode Island, moved to the Daytona Beach area 3 decades ago and became a popular and outspoken voice for conservatism during his three-hour afternoon talk show, as well as a strident voice against vaccinations of all sorts. On July 30th, he posted what would become his final tweet, in which he compared the U.S. government to Nazis in its push to get people vaccinated. He was responding to a tweet from Nikki Freed, a Democrat set to run against Florida's Ron DeSantis next year, who wrote, quote, "The greatest generation had to defeat the Nazis to preserve our way of life. You're only being asked to get a shot. So be a patriot, turn off the TV, and go get vaccinated." Bernier was first hospitalized with COVID on August the 7th after being off the air and homesick for the week leading up to his admittance, but it was unclear how severe his symptoms were at the time. Bernier was the second anti-vax radio host to pass away from COVID in the past few weeks. Phil Valentine, a conservative talk radio host from Tennessee, who had been a vaccine skeptic until he was hospitalized from COVID-19, died. He was 61. He had been a skeptic of coronavirus vaccines, but after he tested positive for COVID-19 and prior to his hospitalization, he told his listeners to consider, quote, if I get this COVID thing, do I have a chance of dying from it? If so, he advised them to get vaccinated. He said he chose not to get vaccinated because he thought he probably wouldn't die. After Valentine was moved into a critical care unit, Valentine said his brother regretted that he wasn't a more vocal advocate for vaccination. So he did come out and admit to his listeners that, you know, he may have been wrong. I don't think that Mark Bernier had a chance to address his listeners before he ended up in hospital and eventually passed away. So, you know, this is an example of, you know, people listen to these reports. You know, you can believe what you want, but people hearing things in the media can be easily influenced.
Yep.
There's a lot of false information, a lot of distorted information going around. So, you know, whether you believe in them or whether you don't, I think you really, what this tells you is you really have to look at both sides of the coin and evaluate what you're listening to and what the sources of the information are that you're listening to as well.
Yeah, and hopefully some people will maybe change their minds and go get vaccinated after these stories. So there's some coverage coming up of 9/11 as we are in the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 disaster. ABC News, week-long 9/11 coverage coming up. This is via Radio Inc. 9/11, 20 years later, America Remembers is a special week of coverage across the ABC network, radio, and streaming platforms, along with a full 24 hours of coverage on Saturday, September 11th. Plans call for four prime specials and a special five-part documentary series. ABC News will provide an hour-long special anchored by correspondent Aaron Katursky, which will be available midweek for affiliates to air on demand. The special will also be available later in an episode of the ABC News Radio Specials podcast, available on major listening platforms. On Saturday, September 11th, ABC News Radio will provide live anchored coverage of the annual commemoration ceremony. And in a related event, there will be a special NYC event that marks the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Mike KC2SYF via Alex Kaminsky in Springboro, Ohio. Many of the hams will be on the air on September 11th, calling QRZ from New York City. We're in a very different place 20 years ago. Some of them hurried to the World Trade Center in Manhattan as first responders to the terror strikes that day. They were answering a call then. And this year, they are the ones calling to mark the painful anniversary. The first responders of their friends and supporters are hams and the Northeast Wireless Radio Club, the NW2C, and the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, W2GSB. They will be on the air together from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, operating special event station Whiskey 2 Tango, W2T, using CW, SSB, and digital modes. Hams may also contact them via satellite. In the words of their station, Whiskey 2 Tango, we will never forget. Mark it on your calendar. So these are two things to look forward. You know, there's going to be a lot of coverage on 9/11. I mean, it was a major event, and it's fun to see also radio-related events coming through with this. And what's happening with the sun? So the sun has been having quite some activity. There were some solar flares happening this week at times. There were two coronal mass ejections that we thought would create geomagnetic storms, but it seems that they missed our planet. So right now, two sunspot groups on the sun, the solar flux around 86. It bumped up to almost 100 this week, and notice that 10 meters was actually open. So shows that activity is picking up, and even the higher frequencies. The K-index is rather quiet right now. And if we look at what's about to happen soon, well, there's some solar wind flowing from a coronal hole that could reach the Earth on September 5th. So this might actually cause some little problems. If propagation is not up to par, that could be the cause. And you know what? The best way to check out what's happening is to turn on that radio and listen.
This is John Fisher of North Chelmsford, Massachusetts. I listen to the International Radio Port every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in the fair city of Montreal.
Next on our show, we have a late-breaking story from National Public Radio, a report that they aired about U.S.-funded journalists in Afghanistan fearing for their lives. Word has come out that a number of contracted journalists by the United States working in Afghanistan are still there and did not make it out in the evacuation before the August 31st deadline. And there's a lot of concern about this, obviously, with the Taliban crackdowns on the media in particular. So NPR and also Vermont Public Radio aired this piece. It's by Michelle Kellerman. And it says, among the Afghans left behind after America's withdrawal are journalists working for the U.S. government-funded media. About 600 of them, including family members, are worried about Taliban reprisals. So we'll take a listen to this two-minute piece, and it sounds like a pretty dire situation possibly for some of these contracted journalists.
Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty grew out of the Cold War, running surrogate stations behind the Iron Curtain in countries with no free press. For the past nearly two decades, it has run a station in Afghanistan, broadcasting in Dari and Pashto. And even Taliban fighters have been known to call into its talk shows, according to Jamie Fly, who heads RFERL.
And so we are a known quantity to the Taliban. Because of that, we've faced harassment from the Taliban, especially out in the provinces. We sadly have lost colleagues in recent years due to attacks.
So he had been working for months to get some of the more vulnerable reporters out, frustrated by a complicated visa process. Then came the rapid fall of Kabul and a chaotic evacuation effort. Fly says he got very few of his journalists out.
They, like tens of thousands of other Afghan nationals who wish to leave, but who failed to get evacuated, are now stuck with very few options.
State Department spokesperson Ned Price says the U.S. tried to evacuate this group of reporters, but the ISIS-K suicide bombing outside Kabul's airport changed everything.
It stood in the way of our ability to bring these individuals to safety before August 31st. But I am telling you, we have told them that we have a commitment to these individuals.
Price says the U.S. is providing them with, as he puts it, tailored guidance, adding the U.S. is looking at all options from land routes to flights if and when the airport in Kabul reopens. A former U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan and RFERL board member, Ryan Crocker, calls this a moment to sit tight.
It's probably not a great time to hire a taxi and head for the border.
Crocker wants to keep up the pressure on the State Department to negotiate safe passage for these U.S.-funded journalists. The Taliban have said they will allow Afghans with visas to leave, and so far they have not stopped the radio station from broadcasting, but Jamie Fly is clearly worried.
We're not sure ultimately what the Taliban's approach to journalists in general will be, what the Taliban's approach to us will be.
And that leads to a lot of uncertainty for his colleagues stuck in Afghanistan. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
We were saying, and we talked about in the, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, is the fact that journalists are stuck there and it's difficult to get out. And now it's even worse now that everybody's pretty much left behind. And it's sad that they didn't take enough time to realize quickly what was happening and how fast things were actually happening to, you know, take out all these people. The journalists are definitely in danger. And when you are a journalist, you talk about what's happening, you talk about what you see, it always causes some friction. So hopefully, either they'll find a way to get out or hopefully they're not going to be armed.
The issue with these journalists, of course, though, is that they are they're not U.S. citizens. Yeah. They were working for the Voice of America and Radio Free Liberty, Radio Europe. So with the broadcasters or the journalists themselves, plus family members and what have you, you're looking at a total of about 500 people. So, you know, it's maybe even more difficult that they're not Americans, that, you know, they were the first ones evacuated. These are almost secondary on a totem pole level, I guess, and the media staffers are stuck. So we'll see what happens with this.
Yeah, hope it doesn't get too bad. So have you got a story about SiriusXM?
Yeah, a quick one here for anybody a subscriber to SiriusXM. They are devoting some new channels to female artists. SiriusXM has launched three new music channels focusing on female artists. The limited run channels Queens of Hip Hop, Women of Rock, and Women of Country will be available throughout the month of September. The Queen of Hip Hop features music from today's biggest female hip hop artists, including Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj, and others. Listeners will also hear music from the queens who've paved the way, including Queen Latifah, Missy Elliott, and Lil Kim. The Women of Rock will hear the architects of classic rock like Stevie Nicks, Joan Jett, 80s icons like Blondie, Susie Sue of Susie and the Banshees, grunge and alternative queens like Courtney Love and Fiona Apple, and contemporary trailblazers like Brittany Howard, St. Vincent, and Haim. The Women of Country, where the original trailblazers of the Grand Ole Opry meet the women who continue to break new barriers today. So you'll be hearing people like Miranda Lambert, Carrie Underwood, Dolly Parton, Mickey Guyton, Loretta Lynn, Maren Morris, and more. All three channels will be available on the SiriusXM app and will also pop up on the satellite through Wednesday, September the 15th. Women of Rock will be available via satellite channel 104 on Wednesday, September 22nd through Thursday, October 7th. Women of Country will be available via satellite on channel 105 on Friday, September the 17th through Thursday, September the 23rd. So you can check out those channels if you are a Sirius subscriber.
That sounds good. So we have a Swiss FM shutdown that is reverting to the original 2024 date. This is via Paul McLean of Radio World. The shutdown of FM broadcasting in Switzerland will take place on its original schedule by the end of 2024, not on an accelerated schedule that had been set out more recently. That's according to a digital working group run by the country's radio industry and government regulator. DigiMig for Digital Migration announced Thursday that VHF radio licenses will expire December 31st, 2024. The originally planned switch-off date was set in 2014. DigiMig has estimated that almost three-quarters of radio use was digital as of the end of last year, a level of penetration that prompted a plan to advance the shutdown of FM to August 2022 for the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation and to January 2023 for private radio. But now the group says that although broadcasters in Germany and Italian-speaking Switzerland were mostly ready for the earlier schedule, not enough radio broadcasters in French-speaking Switzerland would be prepared. A later date also gives consumers more time for the changeover, it said. While almost all new cars sold in the country are now DAB Plus compatible, it said there is still a need for retrofitting many older cars to receive digital. Further, broadcasters will save money with the postponement because stations won't have to broadcast in both formats for an extended period of time. In 2017, Norway became the first country to migrate from FM to digital. Well, in a mountainous country like Switzerland, I'm not sure that is the best of ideas, but we'll see how it goes. But apparently the penetration in the market is pretty good, so it seems people are picking up.
Although they've extended it quite a long
extension, yes, they have.
10 yeah, it, more years.
It took a lot of time for them to actually get there.
Next, we go to Taiwan, and we thank Ralph Bender of Germany for this story. Radio Taiwan International is holding a contest. RTI, or Radio Taiwan International, is holding a contest called Sounds That Move, Travel with Sound Postcards. contest enables the public to travel to other parts of the world through the sounds recorded and photos taken by participants. An exhibit of sound postcards will be held online to allow the public to enjoy a different kind of travel experience at this time of the year. You can apply until the 30th of September 2021 if you want to participate. And you can find more information at their website, and we'll put up a link to it. It is rti.org.tw, and you'll have all the information on there.
That sounds good. Well, we have some quick news from Doug Copeland, a CIDX member in Winnipeg, Manitoba, that saw that on the Deutsche Welle website, they are stopping QSL cards. So as of September 1st, you cannot get QSLs anymore, which is a trend. And I mean, you know, radio stations today don't really need to have reception reports anymore. They can just by themselves know if their signal is actually propagating. And it costs some money, and it costs staff also at the same time.
Yeah, for some of our listeners who are not shortwave listeners, you know, we have a lot of people who just like to listen to what we have to say about radio in general. Shortwave listeners in particular, a lot of them are QSL card hunters. They're verification cards that radio stations would send to a listener if the listener sent them a reception report of their station. Yeah. So as Gilles said, a lot of stations have stopped this practice. It was a voluntary practice. They weren't forced to do this. It was just something they chose to do. But many stations have stopped it, and now we have to add Deutsche Welle, the voice of Germany, to that list.
And a very quick note, we are wishing a happy 85th anniversary to Radio Prague. So they celebrated their 85th anniversary this week. On August 31st, when they started way back in 1936. And they do QSL, by the way, if you want a QSL. And they are heard via WRMI, so you can check out the schedules. And we got a ham radio contest coming up.
Yeah, we have a few coming up this weekend. If you'd like to participate in them, or just to listen if you're a shortwave listener. The first is a big one, actually, the Worked All Europe DX contest. It's 0-100 to September the 11th to 2359 September the 12th, sponsored by the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club. It's 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz bands. It is a single sideband or phone. And a contest QSO or contact can be only conducted between a European and a non-European ham operator. So that's kind of unique. There should be a lot of interesting stations on the air for that one.
The ARRL September VHF contest, 18 Zulu September 11th to 03 Zulu September 13th, sponsored by the American Radio Relay League. The objective for amateurs in the U.S. and Canada to work as many amateur stations in as many different 2 degrees by 1 degree Maidenhead grid squares as possible using authorized frequencies above 50 megahertz. Stations outside the U.S. and Canada may only work stations in U.S. and Canada, all modes 6 meters and up.
The North American Sprint CW, 0-100 to 0-400 September the 12th, sponsored by the National Contest Journal. The mode is CW only. It's 80, 40, and 20 meters only as well.
And there's the Four States QRP Group Second Sunday Sprint, 0 Zulu to 02 Zulu September 13th, sponsored by the Four States QRP Group. Bands 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 only. And the modes CW and SSB, QRP only, that's low power. And we are out of time.
All right. Very good. Lots of information this week. We thank everyone for their input and for tuning into the show today. We'll have links to a lot of these stories and links to all of these contests on our Facebook page. And if you missed the show, you can check it out on the archives at ckut.ca or on our YouTube channel, International Radio Report. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Yeah, mama. Pussycat.